Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 217. Why did Jesus call his disciples then and now salt? Minister Don Coulterman delivered this message with the longest title we've ever recorded on Sunday, October 10th, 2021 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And even in Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3, and I'll just share verse 2, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it, or so that you may run with it. Write down the revelation and make it plain on your paper so that you may run with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we do praise you, for you are so good and your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Father, for your unfailing love and your great compassion. We thank you, Father, in sending Jesus, the Word. And we thank you, Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit just as you promised you would, who would abide with us forever. And so as we open your word this day, Father, we ask again that you would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may come to know you better, that you would open the eyes of our hearts and our understanding, that we may be enlightened and come to know evermore your incomparably great power for us who believe. And because we believe you to fulfill and answer that prayer for us, Father, we thank you in advance. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So, you have your paper. You are writing down the revelation. You've numbered 1 through 15. You see, this is a test. Why did Jesus call his disciples then and now salt? Now, you probably have already answered in 15 reasons why, right? No? Tanya, there are a couple things at the back table there. Please, if you would bring those forward. Thank you. Thank you. Well, these I'll need in just a little bit. Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. She didn't volunteer. I appointed her. Okay. So what do we have? Sarah, can you see from back there? What does it say? This is a salt brick?
Yes, that's what it says, plain.
Okay, plain a plain brick. Salt brick. And this is what, Kim? Or Tanya?
Granulated sugar.
Sugar?
Pure cane.
Sugar. So we have a salt brick and we have sugar. Why did Jesus call his disciples then and now salt? Well, in Exodus 16, verse 4, in regard to salt, well, verse 4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. See, God is a teacher too. And he was going to test them. Okay? Rain down bread from heaven for you. And in verse 15, when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, What is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. So it was from heaven. Is one of these from heaven? See, now, those on the podcast, if this goes podcast and maybe it doesn't go podcast, they can't see the objects, right? So I have to rely on you people. See, is one of these from heaven? Come on, Sarah, you have some answers. Huh? Yes? Huh?
Sure.
Okay, which one?
I say the salt.
The salt is from heaven?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
Because it's not refined, it's natural. I don't know. Is that right?
Well, Sarah. Sarah, please come here, Sarah. Okay. Now, what is the brand name?
Oh, look at that. It says Manna Pro.
Oh! It's Manna Pro.
So I'm right. So that one's from heaven?
So this one is from heaven, okay? Okay. What do the words say just below Manna Pro?
Can I look? You turned it away from me.
Well, I thought you already noticed.
The plain salt brick.
Huh? No, that's the big words.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You always have to read the fine print.
There was something printed little. I didn't see that.
You didn't see that.
No.
Okay.
Made in China.
Okay.
That's a good guess.
Okay.
Nurturing life.
Oh, nurturing life. Thank you. Manna Pro, nurturing life, salt. Now this is, you said what, Tanya?
Pure cane sugar.
Sugar. So this is sugar. And it's really good sugar too, because it is pure, right? It says it's pure. Pure sugar, and it has great value. Huh? So we have pure sugar that has great value. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, we've got two shakers in the box. Tanya would... No, not the box.
Just the
shakers. Now, I hope you didn't mix them up, right?
Nope.
Huh?
Left and right.
Left and right. But what does that have to do with this? But how do you know that I had the one in your right hand in front? Huh?
I don't know.
Taste it.
Well, set them down here, please. So, Ellie... Ellie, you know, is a scholar and a student. Which one of these is the salt, Ellie, and which one is the sugar?
Can I come and look at it close?
Pardon me?
Can I come and look at it close?
Yes, you may come and look. You may come and look.
This is the sugar and this is the salt.
Okay, you may be seated.
Am I right?
Huh? Is she right?
Yeah, because sugar has got greater granules than salt.
It has a little larger granule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she's going by the size of the granule. So salt has a finer granule.
Yeah.
Okay, you're sure of that?
Yes.
Okay. But for most of you back there, would you not say that these look pretty much alike?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Now you see, why would Jesus say that the disciples are salt?
Because
in Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2, and verse 13, that our message is based on, we read these words. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, verse 1, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Man, they didn't even provide me a chair. Okay. Well, I'll let it go this time. He sat down, and his disciples came to him. Please notice, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him. See, it is very important as you study the Word of God to know who is speaking or writing and to whom that person or individual is speaking or writing. That helps you to really better understand the revelation. Amen? Okay? So we know that Jesus saw the crowds. He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. Now, it's not totally clear if some from the crowd did too, but his disciples, and we've been talking about making disciples, right? His disciples came to him. Verse 2 says, and he began to teach them. And he began to teach them. You see, you don't have to turn to it, but in Matthew 4, about verse 23, it says, and he, Jesus, went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. And news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, and it names them, and he healed them. But he taught, he preached, and he healed. Are we disciples?
Yes.
We should be teaching, preaching, and healing then. Amen?
Yes.
I believe that in the Bible, when there is a list of things, that not only are the items in the list important, but very often the order within which they are listed is important. So he taught. He taught them. Yes, he preached too. So since it says he did both of those things, they're not the same. And he healed the sick. And he began to teach them. Verse 13, I expect he's speaking to these same individuals. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So salt versus sugar. They look pretty much the same. But probably one of these you would want on your eggs and the other you would want on your Cheerios, right? And you wouldn't want to mix them up. So it's really kind of good to know. But you know, sometimes that's difficult to tell, as you could see. Amen? So, two salt shakers from a distance. See, Ellie had to come clear up here and examine the size of the particles. Man. Otherwise, they look pretty much the same. I believe if she had smelled, she may not have smelled any difference. She could have touched them and maybe felt a little difference. But now taste would probably be the way to go about it. But you see, I'm thinking of 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. Right? God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. And yet, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, we read these words. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Therefore, it is very important. I mean, God is light and Satan masquerades as light? Well, how do you know who is who? See, it's not quite so easy to always tell, huh? And even Satan's servants masquerades as servants of righteousness. So I say, why not sugar? Huh? I thought that love was usually demonstrated with a gift containing large amounts of sugar. Like a heart-shaped candy. I mean, if you want to show love. Or a cookie, right? Yeah, or some other things. So perhaps Jesus was mistaken when he wants us to be salt. Well, on the other hand, though, who makes sugar? Who?
God.
Sugar? Who makes sugar?
Pure cane sugar from God.
What?
Pure cane sugar from God. Grows on a sugar plantation.
Who makes sugar? Man or God, who makes sugar? Huh? Man makes sugar.
What do I know?
Man makes sugar. Who makes salt? Oh, God makes salt. God makes salt. And you see, Jesus created it, right? So he knows what he's talking about when he wanted us to be salt, right? Because in John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Through him, the Word, Jesus, all things were made. Jesus made salt. See, he didn't accidentally flip a coin, have a quarter, and flip in the air and say, let's see, should my disciples be salt or should they be sugar? Huh? That's not how we decide things, right? And it goes on, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Oh, yeah. Nurturing life. In him was life. And the life was the light of all mankind. Also interestingly, how many of you have ever seen the word sugar in your Bible? Raise your hands. Oh, you know it doesn't, or you just don't know?
Honey.
What?
Honey.
Honey is not sugar. Honey is made by bees. Huh? Right? Is salt mentioned in the Bible?
Yes.
Is it, Tanya? Is salt mentioned in the Bible? How many times? At least 39 times. At least 39 times. Salt. Well, to tell the difference, it's a little critical. Taste can be important. In Psalm 34, verse 8, we read these words, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." And in Psalm 119, verse 103, "How sweet are the words, your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So taste and see that the Lord is good. So, why would Jesus call his disciples and us to be salt? Now I've introduced the question. How much time do I have, Santos? We haven't gotten to one yet. Well, we'll give it a shot. And so you'll have to be ready to take shorthand, because probably the last part of this might have to go kind of rapidly. I believe that we should consider some aspects of salt, which were known to Jesus, as we had just mentioned, because he created it. In light of God's word, perhaps Jesus had some of the following aspects in mind. So to find out some things about salt, an encyclopedia is a pretty good source of information about salt. So I thought it would be interesting to see, what does the encyclopedia have to say about salt, and how is it related to in Scripture? Is that possible to do? Number one, this is a fact. Number one, does everyone have a pen?
Yes.
Okay. There are solid salt deposits throughout the world, and even seawater consists of about 2.5% salt. Oh. Does that make you think then of Mark 16, verse 15, when Jesus told his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to all creation." Or in Acts 1, verse 8, that, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Oh, wow. We should expect to see salt all over the world. Huh? Even in the water. Amen? Maybe that's what Jesus was thinking when he said, "You are the salt of the earth." That's what he expects. Huh? Wow, we've got number one. Number two. Boy, we are going now. Perhaps the first thing we think of in connection with salt is that it's used to season food. Do the people you come into contact with desire your presence because you delightfully enhance and season their lives? I don't know what the lights, I can't always see if people are nodding yes or no. Okay. Or do they regard you as no longer good for anything? Matthew 5, verse 13. So does the Lord regard you as salty? In Job 6, verse 6, we read these words, "Is tasteless food eaten without salt, or is there flavor in the white of an egg?" Or Luke 14, verses 34 and 35, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile." This is the word. "It is neither fit for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's word. That's the word. Luke 14:34-35. Or Mark 9:49-50. Everyone will be salted with fire. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Number three. Over the years, salt has also been important in the preservation of certain foods and hides. Are you a salt that Jesus can use to combat the decay and destruction of Satan's program in the earth? In John 10:10, we read, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Or in Colossians 4:5-6, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Do you catch that? So you know how to answer everyone? You need to be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Now there's an interesting Old Testament account of a miracle involving salt to heal water. I'm getting some strange looks. 2 Kings 2:19-22. The men of the city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a bowl, he said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive, and the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha has spoken. That would be as of the writing of this, right? Isn't that incredible? Salt to heal water so that you could be productive. Number four, salt is also valued because it is essential to the health of humans and animals. Oh, yeah. We see that, right? Short-term deprivation can cause nausea and weakness. Long-term deprivation causes dehydration, a progressive drop in blood pressure, coma, and finally death. Actually, human blood is a saline solution, and even the gastric juices of the digestive system contain an acid derived from salt. Wow. You are the salt of the earth. Are you salty? In Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. A saline solution. Or 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Number five, how are we doing? Does anyone need extra paper? My wife has extra paper, so just raise your hand and she'll accommodate you. Number five, we have to go to 15 yet. How are we doing on time, Santos? Good? Salt usually, listen to this. See, and this is information from an encyclopedia, right? See, I didn't say Wikipedia because that's not so reliable. There was a time when encyclopedias were very reliable. Yeah. Only scholars or people knowledgeable in certain fields were their writings accepted, right? Amen? Okay. Salt usually forms clear crystals that are almost perfect cubes. That's what the encyclopedia said. Salt usually forms clear crystals that are almost perfect cubes. Oh, that's right. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. Even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. Even as your heavenly Father is perfect. To be perfect is that which does not need improvement. God doesn't need any improving, right? But you and I, if we're our salt, we don't either, right? Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. At least that's what we claim. Amen?
Amen.
Luke 6, verse 40. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Anyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. I always find it interesting when you see words like train or teach, okay? Does the Bible say teach a child in the way he should go and when he is old he will not turn from it? Or does it say train up a child in the way he should go? Train up. You see, if you boil down several definitions of train, you have these definitions. To develop the habits, thoughts, and behavior of a child or person through DIP. That's an acronym, D-I-P, for discipline, instruction, and practice, as for an athletic feat or contest. Okay? Like an Olympian, huh? Amen?
Amen?
A pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, this is from the Amplified, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. That's kind of neat, huh? Ephesians 4:13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, attaining unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow, that's being like your teacher, right? Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained all this, Paul says, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So we press on to take hold of that. Number six. Impurities in the salt may make it appear to be white, gray, yellow, or red. Did you know that? Impurities in the salt may make it appear to be white. I thought white was good. Is there something better than white? White is caused by impurities. White, gray, yellow, or red, table salt, depending on purity, may be colorless, transparent, or translucent. So my question now is, what color salt are you? What color salt are you? Ephesians 5, verses 3 to 5, measure it. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, that's in the word, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Or in Isaiah 1, verses 18 to 20, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's recorded by Isaiah. Or Psalm 51, verses 7 and 10. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefather, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Number seven. Man, we're almost halfway there. For some purposes, rock salt may be used in its solid, raw form. But all other salt, everyone say all other salt. All other salt. All other salt undergoes some purification process. After salt has been obtained by mining or evaporation, it is sorted for quality and then crushed, ground, and screened into batches according to particle size. High quality salt that has been ground into fine particles is used as table salt. You take that into your temple, amen? James 1, verses 2 to 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in former years. Number 8, salt is lighter than most other minerals. Did you know that? Salt is lighter than most other minerals. And now catch this. You have to listen. Are you listening? And it will flow when it is under great pressure. Oh, you know what that reminds me of? Acts chapter 6, about some disciples. Beginning with verse 1, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered, preached the word wherever they went. They were under great pressure. Salt will flow when it is under great pressure. Coming back to number 7 just a little bit, there is one more verse I would like to share, which I think is interesting since we're very close to there. 7. Exodus 30, verses 34 to 38. Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum resin, ancha, and galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from the people. Interestingly, huh? A special incense. And we have shared number 8. Number 9. Salt, this one, listen carefully. Salt is also capable of absorbing heat from surrounding objects, and it flows to seal up fractures that form in the walls of underground mines. So it's capable of absorbing heat from surrounding objects, and it flows to seal up fractures. Does that remind you a little of John 14, verse 17? Where Jesus talks about the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He will be in you. to absorb the heat and fire of the Holy Spirit, and it flows to seal up fractures. Amen. Or Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12, I baptize you with water for repentance, John the Baptist said, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Absorb it. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But with number 9, there is also a caution. There is a caution, because salt is capable of absorbing heat from surrounding objects. So what's the caution? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 and 34. Do not be misled. And that's not my words, that's the word. I'm just quoting the verse, okay? Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. So salt's ability to absorb heat from surrounding objects, be careful what surrounding objects you have. Amen? That's like Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. But blessed is the salt that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. You don't want to absorb that. Amen? Number 10. Salts are electrolytes. Y'all know what that is, right? Electrolytes are substances that in solution conduct electricity by a transfer of ions. Salts are electrolytes. Are you an electrolyte? Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yes, you will receive power. Okay? So you can conduct electricity. John 14, 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And that was to send that Holy Spirit. Luke 10, verses 17 to 20. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority. Oh, that's what we've been studying about. Amen? Huh? I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. But yes, conduct electricity. Power. Number 11. Salts generally have a high melting and boiling points. Salts generally have high melting and boiling points. They can handle a lot of heat before they melt or boil over. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," huh? So you have a high melting and boiling point? Amen? James 1, verses 19 to 21. My dear brothers, take note of this. Are you taking notes? That's what he said. Take note of this. Everyone, say everyone. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Or Psalm 37, verses 8 to 9. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Or 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It, referring to love, is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That describes us, right? Because we are salt. Number 12. Man, are we going to make this okay? Praise God. 12. Salt has been a precious commodity since ancient times. Did you know that it was often traded ounce for ounce for gold? The early Chinese used coins made of salt for currency. In many areas around the Mediterranean Sea, salt cakes were used for currency. Several ancient cultures also levied taxes on salt. Consider, you are more precious to your heavenly Father than silver or gold or even salt, because the amount he paid for you was greater than the value of all the silver, gold, and salt in the world added together. You were valued at, and he paid for you with the very life of his Son. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Amen? You are a precious commodity. You are the salt of the earth. Number 13. Our modern word salary, oh, we know what that is, right? But the modern word salary is derived from the Latin word salarium, which means salt money, and referred to the allowance of salt that was paid to Roman soldiers. The salt produced in those times was often very impure. Thus, the biblical phrase about salt that had lost its savor probably was an allusion to crude salt that had been exposed to water with subsequent removal of the true salt content from a residue of clay and marl. Number 14. In the ancient world, salt often took on a religious significance. In Hebrew, Greek, Arabic, and Persian texts, there is an intimate connection of salt with the idea of of what? That's what Ellie was sharing about earlier. With the idea of a covenant or binding relationship. Among the ancients, to, quote, eat salt with another person was to create a bond of friendship. In Leviticus 2, verses 11 to 13, every grain offering you bring to the Lord must be made without yeast, for you are not to burn any yeast or honey in an offering made to the Lord by fire. You may bring them to the Lord as an offering of the first fruits, but they are not to be offered on the altar as a pleasing aroma. Season all your grain offerings with salt. Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. See, that's why by practice in my Father's house, we, I believe, almost always pray over our offerings, right? Huh? Pray over our offerings. So we add salt to our offerings. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 5, don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever, forever, by a covenant of salt? How strong is that? I think I would speak well about Israel, God's chosen people. Number 15. Whew. Are we going to make it, Santos? Good? Man. Number 15. In some cultures, salt denoted a position of honor or esteem. In the Middle Ages, a person's social rank was evident from his seating in relation to the place of the salt cellar on the table. In English, quote, salt of the earth describes a person in high esteem. Describes a person in high esteem. Are you highly esteemed by the Lord? I can share with you about a man who was. In Daniel 9, verse 23, we read these words of the angel to Daniel. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. That's the way our prayers are answered, right? As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, and you have an angel come to you, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. And in chapter 10 of Daniel, verses 11 and 12, he said, now again to Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Are you highly esteemed of the Lord. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, we read these words, "Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? These are the ones I look on with favor." Or the 1984 edition of NIV says, "This is the one I esteem. This is the one I esteem. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. This is the one I esteem. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." Are you highly esteemed? In Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." You are the salt of the earth. But to really know, sometimes you have to taste. It's just like when Jesus gave warning in Matthew 7, and he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He said, "By their fruit you will know them." Not by what they have done, by their fruit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is in Galatians 5, about verse 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So therefore, to be salt of the earth, you sometimes have to examine. You see, because I could even share from the standpoint of, I have a few minutes to meddle, right? If we would speak of two presidents, okay, 45 and 46, they look quite similar, right? I mean, they're old men, right? Huh? They're both old men. They both have light-colored hair. But one is opposed to killing unborn babies. The other thinks it's okay. One believes that we are a nation of laws, and the laws should be carried out. Another prefers to manufacture policy. One adheres closely to the Constitution as it reads. Others, well, it kind of depends on how things have changed in our society, you know. One is a Catholic. The other one is a Protestant. I mean, can't you tell? And I'm not coming on to the Roman Catholic Church, but what does the word Catholic mean? What does the word Catholic mean? Catholic means universal. Oh, Oh, yeah, let's just get all the nations together and we're just one of them. Okay? The other is a Protestant. A Protestant, a protest. Yeah, you just have to listen, okay? It really makes a difference, you know. One is kind of sugar, you know. That would be like free college, free health care, free this, free that, free right. Okay? The other, you need to work for a living. Take pride in who you are. There's a difference between salt and sugar. There are probably some additional analogies that could be drawn. But see, we are living in a time when we really need to be the salt of the earth. And I trust that there are some points that were shared today that can be beneficial to you in your walk of life to experience greater and greater victory in your walk. So we will close with prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we do praise you for you are so good and your mercy endures forever. We do thank you, Father, for your unfailing love and your great compassion. For your unfailing love and your great compassion. Again, we thank you for your compassion in sending Jesus and his love for us in going to the cross on our behalf. He died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And it was he, Jesus, who created all things, who called his disciples then and us now, the salt of the earth. So we ask, Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, that you would move in the lives of each one of us. And Holy Spirit, breathe into us your power, your presence. Jesus said that you would endue us with power from on high. Jesus said that you would convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus said that you would tell us of things yet to come. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would remind us of the things that he had said. We are so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. And so as we go forth from this place this day, may we truly be a kind of salt that will impact the world within which we live. For Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." So help us, Father, by your Holy Spirit, to truly be salty salt. We ask that in faith, and so we thank you in advance. We receive it done in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.